quite
unusual. That was weird.
Sick prank.
Oh man, I should have just started it with hello and welcome to the quiet.
Wait, we can go back.
Hello and welcome to the quite unusual podcast.
My name is Nicole.
And my name is Noelle, and the voice changer doesn't work on me.
I forgot that. It was funny because when you started, well, when you pranked me, I like took a breath, like getting ready to like say it, and it was like, I was like, what is happening? That was funny. Sick prank.
I'm going to get a show called Pranked, where I just go around and I prank people. It's never been done before.
You're going to say you just got pranked?
You just got pranked. But it's spelled P-R-A-N-K apostrophe D.
Yeah. You know what I think you should also wear, like, when you do that?
What?
Like, trucker hats. I think that would be, like, a good look. That's also never been done before.
I've literally never seen that.
In the same, like, you know, doing a person doing that and then also wearing that. It's...
Yeah.
Never been heard of.
I actually just heard of this really cool brand new brand that's out. Like, no one knows what this is yet.
What's it called?
It's called Von Dutch. Have you heard of it?
No.
Of course you haven't.
It's
just dropped on the market. They're these really sick trucker hats.
Mm-hmm.
They're only like $100, so, which is a steal. Everyone knows.
I mean, I would pay them $100. Wait. I would pay more than $100.
That's how buying things works, yes.
I think you should wear those. You might start a trend.
I think I'm gonna.
It could be a trend.
Yeah, I was talking to my friend Paris. You don't know her. No, you don't know her. And she was telling her friend Nicole, not you, but the other Nicole R. We'll call her.
Okay.
They were talking about maybe like the three of us like getting like matching trucker hats.
Ooh, you know what I think would look really good with that?
What?
Is if you guys had like those cute little like juicy couture sets too.
I mean, obviously. Do you want in on this?
Can I?
Yeah, I think we should do this.
It's never been done before.
No one's ever done it. Actually, I have a white Louis Vuitton bag with like the multicolored like.
Can I do
it?
Can I get a Dooney and Burke one? I feel like that's...
Yeah, to put your Chihuahua in?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's hot.
Ebra, you want to come in?
That sounds so hot.
Wow, that's a really good saying.
What? That's hot. Should we make that our catchphrase?
You should.
So instead of saying celebrate strange and keep unusual,
you should just say that's
we'll just
hot.
Be like... That's hot.
Thanks for listening to the Quite Unusual Podcast.
That's hot. Bye. Yeah. I mean, we just live simple lives. So that's what we got to do. You know what I mean?
It's just two girls.
We're having a good time. Can we add that's hot to our soundboard?
Of course. I don't know why we haven't done that already.
I literally have not thought of any of this for a long time. Although that Von Dutch documentary came out.
Oh, yeah. What is that about?
It's
Isn't
about
the person's like just horrible or whatever.
Yeah, they like kill people and stuff. It's crazy.
The maker of Von Dutch.
I mean, I'm not here to allegedly bad things happened.
Allegedly. Okay. Allegedly, he kills people.
Allegedly, I'm not here to say, to confirm or deny the activities of Reginald Von Dutch.
Is that allegedly his name?
I assume that's his name because why else would you name it Von Dutch?
I mean, allegedly.
Allegedly, we should start the show.
Okay,
well, speaking of alleged crimes, actually, I have some news about one of our co-hosts who actually has been taking more of a producer role lately. They used to be on the episodes, or the early episodes. I don't know if you guys remember Lil Thumper, our golden dick.
Lil Thumper, the golden dick. The dick with the golden heart. And also skin.
Yeah.
Foreskin.
Yeah, all four of his skins.
Mm-hmm.
Correct. So we have a little statue. We'll post a picture of it on social media. We haven't honored.
He's kind of like our mascot, I guess you can say.
Absolutely. He's the heart and soul.
He is.
He's the heart, soul, and the balls of this operation.
Yeah.
Frankly. Yeah. So Lil Thumper, our beautiful golden dick, he was given to us by one of our favorite couples alive, Sabrina and Sal. So shout out to them if they're listening.
Out.
I know they are. Lil Thump says, hey. He says.
Little Thump. That was him hitting the table.
It is real little, so it's like. So she told me, Sabrina told me today or the other day that the company that Lil Thumper was born at.
That produced Lil
Thumper. They do it as like a prank. It's like a welding place, and they like make dicks all the time. It's
because it's a bunch of dudes, and what else are they gonna do?
Not make dicks.
You're not gonna not make dicks if you work at a welding company.
You have the technology to make a dick. You're gonna make a dick.
You're gonna do it.
Yeah, that was like God's original prank. He's like, what if I just...
You just made a bunch of dicks, and then we have men.
Now here we are.
Here we are.
Thanks. So she said that they have outlawed the dicks at the warehouse.
They've outlawed the dicks.
They went through and they did a sweep, and they removed all the dicks.
They did a dick sweep.
They removed all of them. And if you are caught producing or... probably handling also a dick in the warehouse.
Allegedly.
You will get fired.
Wow.
So I don't want to say that Lil Thumper is an outlaw now, but he is probably the baddest little golden dick in the West.
He's the last of the dicks.
It's the last of, what
the,
did you call him?
The last of the Dickeekins.
Yeah. The last of the Mo Dickens.
Mo Dickens. Dickeekins, Mo Dickens.
Lil Thump. Last of his kind.
Last of his kind.
In the arms of Lil Thump.
And we will take such great care of him.
Yeah, we absolutely will.
We will never let him, we'll never lose him.
We'll never give him up for adoption. Addiction? Addiction. That's Jane's addiction right there, baby.
If we ever do live shows, you bet your sweet ass he's coming on the stage with us.
He's our emotional support dick.
He is our emotional support dick.
Yes. We call our house girl house because there's how many? Five, six girls here.
All of our pets are girls except for my snake. He is a boy.
But he's an accountant because only men know how to do math.
Yeah, but he like barely even has a dick, so yeah, it doesn't really count.
Like, it's like a vent.
Yeah, it's like it's like a little hook.
He's like an honorary girl.
Yeah, yeah. Totally.
He's non-binary.
He keeps to himself, yeah.
I love that journey for him. Mm-hmm. I love that. It's beautiful. So yeah, this is girl house and Lil Thumper is the only male presence here. Mm-hmm. So... this one's dedicated to Lil Thumper.
This one goes out to Lil Thumper.
Yeah. Actually, I'm really excited to start this series. This has been... I'm very nervous. My heart rate's like... I'm not wearing my watch. My heart rate is so high right now because I'm so nervous about this.
Yes.
This is my golden hot tub.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys remember the golden hot tub way, way back when.
Oh, my God. When did that episode come out?
That was the...
Dyatlov.
Dyatlov Pass. Mm-hmm.
I think Dyatlov won. Right?
Yeah, because we made the joke that they were the reason why they were hiking Dyatlov or like the mountain. I don't even remember what it was called.
Dyatlov Pass.
Well, that's where they were found.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
The reason why they were on their hiking trip is because they wanted to find the golden hot tub.
Of lore. It's
And then we just made that like our golden hot tub. Like what topic would be our golden hot tub topic, and for Noelle it is this topic.
It is this topic. Your topic
would be the West Memphis 3.
Yeah, let's see, when did that come out? Oh my god, over 2 years ago.
Shit.
That episode dropped in January, the beginning of January 2021. What a different time that was.
Wow.
Yeah, so pleased to be listening to my golden hot tub.
Golden hot tub. You'll do great. You're doing great, sweetie.
Thank you so much. Did you just? You should trademark that.
You're doing great, sweetie.
Yeah.
And no one's ever said that before.
I've never heard. You just like had a little camera while you were like, "This is amazing."
I was clapping.
We're making like incredible. We're so smart. We're
so original.
We are. So, we really are. Someone should give us a reality show.
Somebody should give us a podcast. Wait.
The thing about podcasts is that no one gives them to you. You just forage start for them.
You just start one and hope people listen to it.
It's a lot like dumpster diving in a way.
for a podcast. You forage for listeners.
Yes.
You dumpster dive into the podcast. The podcast is the dumpster and you're diving into it and then you forage for listeners.
That's a perfect analogy because we are trash in the dumpster. People. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, let's hop into our little golden dumpster here.
Golden hot tub and golden dumpster.
What if you fill the dumpster with hot water? Then it could be a hot tub.
Then it is a hot tub.
It is.
Any vessel that can hold water and it's hot is automatically a hot tub. That's how that works.
And I believe our neighbor Chad told you that, who is a hot tub connoisseur.
He was in the hot tub yesterday when I got home. And he was by himself, which he usually is. But I pulled up into our driveway. This is for all you Chad fans out there. I really hope you listen. Chad heads. So I pull up and he's like just like in the hot tub by himself, like floating on his back with his head like in the air, eyes closed.
Deep sighing.
Living his best fucking life. And I was just like, slow clap for Chad.
We love that. We gotta get Chad on the show, man.
Honestly, I think we did. We should.
He's got a job that wouldn't not fit this.
Yeah, I think we should hide a mic in one of our sweaters and like ambush him like while he's in the backyard.
Listeners, I want you to know Nicole has never met this man.
I've never met him.
She wants to.
I've lived here for 2 years. And I've never met him.
She wants to ambush him in his own yard.
People are friends who don't even live here that have just come to the house have met him and I have not.
Yeah. I love
him. I told you, he's like a cryptid.
He is.
I like to keep him that way too.
He's our personal Bigfoot.
He's my Bigfoot.
He's your Bigfoot.
See him
he's
my the Jesus. Pass. And that's the amount of interaction that I've had with Chad.
You just hear his burps echoing off the water of mm-hmm. the hot tub. Mm-hmm. It's like that scene in Jurassic Park with the ripples, but it's like his burps create them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like rustles of the trees. And I'm like, what is that?
Chad is afoot.
Anyways.
All right. There's your daily Chad news. Chad heads.
Chad was in the hot tub yesterday.
Chad sighting. We got a Chad sighting.
We did.
I'm gonna make a shirt of a man, of Chad-like man, walking Bigfoot style, like the Patterson film.
Yeah.
Towards a hot tub.
But like with like the look back when
Chad
he's like
sighting. And like a Bud Heavy in his hand.
Yes.
Chad's a Bud Heavy guy.
A Bud Heavy and then like a grilling tool in the
like
other.
Like one of those giant grilling spatulas mm-hmm. that are just like, dude, what do you even need?
Right?
Why is it that big?
No one does.
They're so hard to handle.
Yeah.
No one needs that.
Yeah. You need a Bud Heavy and then a grilling spatula in the other. And he's like.
He's got like a towel wrapped around his waist and he's walking towards a hot tub. If anyone makes that for me, I will make a t-shirt and personally buy you one and send it to you.
Yeah.
That's what I want. I'm picturing it for some reason on red because that just feels like a Chad color.
It's a Chad. He has a red car, doesn't he?
He does have a red car.
I think it's his favorite car.
We have to stop giving away too many personal information. Someone right now is on Google Maps satellite looking for Chad's car in his hot
Wouldn't
tub.
Wouldn't it be so great though if he like the satellite view of his house was him? He was in his hot tub.
Wait, I gotta look.
Floating on his back alone.
This is all I want.
I would love that.
I would also love that.
With a beer and next to on the side of the hot tub.
Okay, where are we here? Okay, bad news.
He's not in the hot tub.
No, but his truck is in the driveway, so we need to stop giving away personal information.
You can't find a person but just by the color of a car.
You can see his grill though.
Nice.
Looks really nice.
Tight.
Looks really nice.
I bet you it's very clean.
It's a good aerial view right there.
All right. Shall okay. we?
Yeah, I think we should probably stop seeing if Chad's on Google Maps.
Also, to catch him. Satellite image.
Also, sometimes I think about what if he ever found this podcast?
We'd be fucked.
And he heard it. And he's like, that's my real name. What are you doing?
It's fine.
All right. Let's We're fucking fine. Get to it.
Or is that his real name? We could just be using a non-real name.
I mean, everyone calls people Chads.
Chad's a dude. He's a dude.
Chad's a dead.
Dead.
Chad's
a dead, man.
Weezin' the Jess.
We need that on the soundboard.
Oh, why don't we get Weezin' the Jess? Oh,
my notebook's not here. I'm going to add those too.
Okay. That's hot. Okay, let's go. Let's fucking go. It's as hot as a hot tub right there. Okay. So, as I was saying, this is a series that I have been wanting to do since, like, the beginning of the pod. How long have we been doing this? 3.5 years? Who knows? Nobody knows.
Yeah, like 3 years. 3 years.
So, I have no concept.
A little over three.
Oh, yeah. Totally. Okay, so a little over 3 years ago. We were going to throw a three-year party, but then we didn't because we forgot. Yeah, that's fine. It's whatever. And actually, this is a story that I personally think about constantly, like, all the time. Like, this is, like, my number one obsession. Mm-hmm. Like, you know how, like, when you're young, like, you hear of a thing, and then you're like, this is my personality forever.
Well, that's, everyone has a case like that, I feel like. If it's a cult, if it's a paranormal thing, if it's a true crime thing. Like, everyone has that case where it just, like, it fucks you up, man.
Yeah, like, rent-free in my brain.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
No thoughts except this.
Yep.
Always.
Yep.
And I'm actually a pretty firm believer that I would have joined this cult if I had been, like, in that position and, like, alive, I guess, when this cult was going on. I really think so. Like,
what about this cult makes you think that you would have just been like, yes, Marshall?
So I don't know what it is. I feel like, well, it's an spoiler if you guys don't know. We're talking about Heaven's Gate. If you chose to just not read the title of this episode,
thing where you just don't read before you listen. You just dumpster dive right in.
Yeah, or like if you haven't guessed, dumpster diving. That's what we do
into
every day.
The episode.
That's what I'm going to call my research from now on. What did you do last night? Dumpster dove.
Did a deep dumpster dive.
Deep hours. I was in there for hours. We're talking about Heaven's Gate. And I like that it's a UFO cult.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. I feel like there's so few UFO cults, right? I like that it was run by two people. One was a woman. One was a man.
Yeah.
Guy was a Taurus. It's vibes on that one. I don't know. they just seem like... They seem like cool, like weirdo, like our type of people is what's so crazy about it to me.
Well, I feel like Marshall Applewhite, like just when he looks at you, just stares into your soul.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
His crazy eyes.
There was one night, speaking of staring into my soul, there was one night I was laying on the dining room floor and it was like 3 a.m. and this was last summer and my cat Jade was staring directly into my eyes
Marshall Applewhite style,
and I like became hypnotized for like 30 seconds and I was like, I should go to bed, it's so late.
That's what I feel like. That's part of his draw.
Yeah, dude,
his crazy fucking eyes.
He's got crazy eyes.
He does.
Yeah, so I don't really feel like I have like a up and like join a cult type of personality. Like, do you think that about me? I feel like I'm a pretty independent thinker.
No, I think if you had any involvement in a cult, you would be the leader of the cult.
First of all, that is a very nice compliment. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I also feel that way about you. I feel like we could run a cult like this where like I'm the face and like you're the brains.
I could just, like we've discussed this. I would just sit in the back and drink wine and be like an ominous presence.
Yeah. Like I'm the Marshall Applewhite.
Mm-hmm.
You're the Bonnie Lou Nettles.
Oh, thank you.
You're the brains behind the operation.
I'm the Bonnie to your Marshall.
You are.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're the tea to my dough, baby. So, I don't know. Something about this one, it's just different. I just think it's so interesting. It's just... I don't know. Anyways, I'm going to stop waxing poetic about it and actually start to tell you guys what's going on here. So this series is going to be a series. It's going to be several parts, probably like 3-ish parts, I'm going to say. And I promise you that I will end up still feeling like I did not do it justice.
Yeah, I don't think you ever will. Like you said, it's your golden hot tub. You're always going to be like, fuck, I forgot that. Or like it's never going to be perfect enough because it's your golden hot tub, man.
Yeah. And like there's whole podcasts that are devoted to only this topic, and they're 12, 13 episodes long. They go through everything. They do interviews, they do all that. You guys know we don't do interviews, we don't do that stuff. So I'm just basically going to be telling you about it. I'm gesturing a lot with my hands. I'm going to put them under my lap. It's because I'm nervous. So I'm going to try my best. Be nice. But here we go. Part one.
Let's do it.
Heaven's Gate, part one. Okay, let's go. Here goes nothing. Okay. Heaven's Gate was, and in small part still is, in my opinion, an American religious movement. It's often described as a cult, and we will be calling it a cult.
Mm-hmm.
But when I began my research, when I dived into the dumpster, I tried to really suss out like the difference between a religious movement and a cult.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, right?
I mean, some can argue that some religions are very culty.
I think, frankly, they're the same thing.
Some of them end in, like, mass suicide. I feel like that's what it is. If something tragic happens, then it's a cult. If it's just, like, an ongoing crazy fucking religion, nobody cares.
Right. Like, not to alienate any of our listeners, but, like, Mormonism.
Mm-hmm.
That.
Scientology.
These are fucking cults. Yeah. But because you're right, because they haven't had a Waco style ending.
Yeah.
They're just like religious movements.
Yeah, totally. Yeah,
totally, right? Oh, God. That's yes. I love that. A cult is defined as a system of religious veneration and devotion directed towards a particular figure or object. Again, that just sounds like religion. To me.
Exactly. It does sound like religion, yeah.
Like, not that I don't think all organized religion is inherently culty, girls, little girls. That's just a topic for another time, and we don't want to, have the don't want to get in trouble again with the Mormons.
I mean, anything, even like spirituality, like that could be culty too. Like,
it's literally all culty.
You're worshiping something.
K-pop, culty.
You're devoting yourself towards something, a figure or object.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Remember
Beliebers? Cult.
Yeah. Remember when everyone was obsessed with those little mini Beanie Babies and we all went to all the McDonald's to try to get them?
Yeah, you had to.
That's a cult.
That's a cult.
That's a fucking cult.
Exactly.
Everything is a cult. Just like everything is a salad.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Absolutely.
It's either a soup or a salad.
We're just a couple of breadsticks out here. Just trying to survive.
Living life.
To me, a cult is differentiated from religion, I would say almost by size. Like, it's a small group of people, relatively speaking, that's devoted to a person or idea. When it grows in size and it's more, like, accepted by society as a whole, like, again, like Mormonism or Scientology, then it turns into more of, like, an organized religion versus a cult.
Right. And even, like, Christianity, I would say most people, a lot of people are Christians.
Yeah, Christian-based.
Yeah, or Christian-based. So, I mean, you can call that a cult, too, if you wanted to. But
I think you can call anything a cult, really.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes there is a single charismatic leader, but some cults, like Heaven's Gate, have two or more leaders, which, in my opinion, makes them more powerful. Because if you're...
Double trouble.
Yeah, exactly. Just like the Parent Trap.
Yes.
Heaven's Gate is one of the more famous cults because, like, all really famous cults, like we were just talking about, it ended in mass suicide.
Mm-hmm.
If you're unfamiliar with Heaven's Gate, they are the ones who wore the matching black Nikes and purple capes.
Slay.
Honestly,
slay.
Slay. I have a whole section we're going to talk about in the last episode of this series about the person that sold them the Nikes.
Is it a whole Heaven's Gate fashion?
Slay
section.
Yeah, if you actually join our top tier, the mothership, we send you a pair of these Nikes. Just let us know what size you wear. Heaven's Gate was a fairly long-lived suicide cult, and arguably, it is still active.
What?
Yeah, their website, heavensgate.com, which you can go to, I have it up on my computer right now, is still up, and some of the original members are still alive and maintaining things.
Wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. So are they still practicing?
They're not practicing.
Okay.
I mean, the leaders are gone. Spoiler. The leaders are gone, but there's still some of the OG members. So I'm going to say it's...
Someone's still paying for the IP address on this website. So
yes, people are literally maintaining it still and their original members, which I think is really fun. The teachings were Christian... millenarianism based with notes of like new age teaching and honestly just a really strong focus on UFOs and space and space travel, extraterrestrials, all that stuff. In late March of 1997, many of the members of Heaven's Gate chose to shed their earthly vehicles and ascend to the next level, as they called it, and ride the comet Hale-Bopp to their awaiting next level bodies. This event remains the largest mass suicide on American soil.
I didn't know that.
I also didn't know that because, frankly, like, it was, I mean, it's big.
But it's not like Jonestown style, but that wasn't
that
on
wasn't
American
here.
Soil, so.
Yeah, also some could argue that that was a homicide.
For some people, for sure.
Yeah. For sure.
For the kids, obviously. Yeah.
These were all consenting adults.
Just going to the next level.
Yep. But, I mean, let's not get ahead of ourselves. Let's start at the beginning. We're going to take it slow. We're going to really ease into this dumpster. And we're going to get to know our charismatic leaders, Bonnie Lou Nettles and Marshall Applewhite, or T and Doe, as they like to be called, or Bo and Peep.
Bo and Peep.
I think that's nice.
Very cute nicknames.
They had, like, a lot of super cute little nicknames. I think it's nice.
I mean, I would.
I've.
It's fun.
I've only ever had one nickname, and I gave it to myself. Sad, fucking sad. Marshall Herf Applewhite Jr., Herf, was born in Spur, Texas, a small 1.6 square mile town in the northern part of the state with a current population of only 1,300 people.
Currently?
Mm-hmm.
Jeez.
He was born almost 92 years ago on May 17th. It's almost his birthday. 1931, which was a Sunday in Taurus season. Mm. His father, Marshall Applewhite Sr., was a Presbyterian minister, and his mom, Louise Applewhite, was, as far as I can tell, a homemaker, caring for Marshall Jr. and his three siblings. Marshall was very religious as a child, but otherwise his life as a young person seemed to be just like pretty uneventful, just like a normal kid, flew under the radar at high school. Nothing really exciting is known about his...
Just a kid doing kid things.
Yeah, just like life is a nightmare, you know?
Life is a highway.
He graduated from Corpus Christi High School and he moved on to Austin College, where he graduated in 1952 with a degree in philosophy. He married his girlfriend, Ann Pierce, the same year, and they went on to have two children, Mark and Lane. Marshall seemed to always be looking for more. He was never content with what he had. He enrolled at Union Presbyterian Seminary School to study theology with the hopes of being a minister like his father. Instead of continuing with school, he dropped out to pursue a career in music. He became the music director of a Presbyterian church in North Carolina and was, by all accounts, just an absolutely beautiful and very talented baritone singer.
Wait, his voice was beautiful or mm-hmm. he was beautiful?
I mean...
Both?
I'm going to say both. He's a double threat. Mm. Yeah, but his voice was just like... I mean, I read a bunch of things that said he had the most beautiful voice anyone's ever heard.
Was it like the combination of Fergie and Jesus?
Yeah, some people called him the voice of his generation.
Hmm, allegedly.
Yeah. Others did call him a combination of Fergie and Jesus. Hmm. In 1954, Applewhite was drafted into the United States Army, and he served as a member of the Army Signal Corps in Austria and New Mexico. Pretty wide range there. The thing about this man I noticed is that he is, like, constantly on the move. Like, I'm just going to start...
Well, you said, like, look, he's always looking for the next thing.
Yeah, he's just, like, constantly moving around. So 2 years later, he's out of the military, which I always thought the military was a four-year thing. I don't know if that's new.
I don't know. I honestly have no idea.
I don't know. But 2 years later, he was out of the military, and he decided to go back to school at the University of Colorado, where he successfully earned a degree in music with a focus on musical theater. Marshall Applewhite was the definition of charismatic. If anyone has seen him, like Nicole was talking about his eyes earlier, mm-hmm. he is hypnotic. Like, you can look at a photo of him and it looks like he is staring you in the eye.
Yeah, he pierces like into your soul with his eyes.
He's got like Mona Lisa face. Mm-hmm. Like, he just like is following you around the room.
Yeah, his eyes are always looking at you.
Is he in the room with us now?
He might be.
Can we get a Marshall Applewhite cutout?
Yes. To go along with Agent Dale Cooper and Edward Cullen.
Yeah.
You could stand right in the middle of them. I think it would be kind of cute.
That would be really nice, actually. Mm. I'd really like that. Just boys club. We can put him on like a little train for Christmas, so it looks like we're having a Christmas party. He was widely known for his musical talents and his acting abilities. He was an opera singer. He was very well-spoken. He was very quick-witted. And he was just like a really good public speaker. After graduating from the University of Colorado, Marshall moved to New York City to pursue a dream of being a professional singer and a stage actor.
Was he with his wife at this time?
He was married.
So he's just doing all this shit on his own.
So I could not find if he dragged her with or not.
Oh.
I'm going to assume yes, because she was like a stay-at-home mom.
Right. So it would seem, I mean, he's a very ambitious guy, which, I mean, good for you, Marshall. But, like, you have a wife and two kids.
Yeah. So I don't know, actually. This is the first hole in my golden hot tub.
No.
I don't know if she was with him or not. From what I understand, she's with him sometimes. I don't know if it's all the time. I don't know if they're moving all over together or not.
Right.
So he was unsuccessful in his pursuit of being a professional singer and stage actor, which, I mean, if you know what happens to him. Yeah, he clearly wasn't a famous actor. He's not Tom Cruise. Okay.
No, yeah, he's not.
No, he's not Tom Cruise.
No. Is he taller? I don't know.
I think so. Tom Cruise is pretty small.
I feel like everyone is.
Most people, I think. So after this, he moved to Alabama to work at the University of Alabama. And here, I do know he dragged his wife and his kids along with him.
Okay.
In 1965, he was fired from his teaching job after having a sexual relationship with a male student, and it came to light. His wife also decided that it was time to separate after learning of this affair, And in 1968, the two would officially get divorced. He decided to live as his authentic self, and he came out as gay to his parents, who immediately rejected him, stating that the church does not support his homosexuality, which, like, I don't want to say this right now, but, like, your son is a musical theater major. Mm. So maybe there were signs.
Yeah. Maybe he just really liked singing. I don't know.
Yeah, probably that too. He then moved to Houston to serve as chair of the music department at the University of St. Thomas. He was very popular at his new job, and he was known as the most stylish teacher at school.
Oh, was it because of the, this was pre-Nike, right?
This is pre-Nike.
So he was even fashionable then.
Slay.
Slay.
Yeah. He ate. He left no crumbs. He was a singer at the local church and the Houston Grand Opera. He lived openly as a gay man for a while, but then he had a short-lived relationship with a young woman who basically ghosted him when her parents found out, and this broke his heart. I do not know how young she was.
So she ghosted him because her parents found out, and they had an issue with it because he was openly gay?
No. He was openly gay for a long time, and then he got into a relationship with a woman.
Okay.
So he's like, I'm a gay man. I only like men. And then he started dating a young woman.
And then her parents didn't like it.
They were like, you can't date this man. What are you doing? And then she ghosted him, and he never got over it.
Mm-hmm.
He resigned from his teaching job in Houston, citing emotional turmoil as his reason for quitting. The president of the university later recalled that Marshall Applewhite was often mentally jumbled and disorganized near the end of his employment at the school. Probably because he was heartbroken.
Mm-hmm.
In 1971, he moved to New Mexico, where he ran a deli for a little bit.
This dude has literally done everything.
I know. Right?
He just ran a deli. He was in the army. He tried to make it on Broadway. He's a music teacher. He studied two different majors in college.
Yeah.
He's a renaissance man.
He is a renaissance man. He drove a small moped. He loved to make caramels. He studied physics for fun. Whatever. The same year that he moved back to Texas, his father died, and Marshall was thrown into a severe depression. He had to borrow money from his close friends since he wasn't working, and his debts were beginning to pile up. A year later, in 1972, he met Bonnie Lou Nettles. Bonnie's son says that he isn't sure exactly how the two met, but he believed that the two met when someone got injured at a theater that Marshall was acting at or working at, and Bonnie was supposedly the one that came to offer her medical expertise as a nurse.
Okay.
So, enter stage right, Miss Bonnie Lou Nettles.
Thank you.
She deserved that. Born Bonnie Lou Truesdale on a Saturday. I'm obsessed with knowing what day of the week people are born on.
Why is that?
I don't know. I just think it's interesting.
Just you don't look it up. Isn't there a thing you can look up, say if you were born on this day, then you're like this.
Oh yeah, it's like that poem. It's like Monday's child is full of grace, Tuesday's child is fair of face. Do you know what day you were born on?
Sunday.
You were born on a Sunday?
Sunday, yeah. What am I full of?
Shit.
Bullshit.
Let's see. I'm just going to read this whole thing for everyone. It's so short, okay? So if you guys know what day you were born on. Monday's child is fair of face. Tuesday's child is full of grace. Wednesday's child is full of woe, which is why Wednesday Adams is named Wednesday.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Thursday's child has far to go. Friday's child is loving and giving. I was born on a Friday.
Tracks.
Saturday's child works hard for a living. Sorry, Bonnie. And the child born on the Sabbath day is bonny and blithe and good and gay.
I'm gay.
It's Pride Month next month, baby. So Bonnie was born. He was born on a Sunday. Marshall. So he was blithe and gay. Bonnie was born on a Saturday. So I guess she worked hard for a living. She was born on August 29th. 1927, which makes her a Virgo, which also fucking tracks. She was born in Houston, Texas, to a family of devout Baptists. Bonnie graduated from nursing school in 1948 from the Herman Hospital of Professional Nursing. The following year, she married her husband, Joseph Nettles, and became Bonnie Lou Nettles. Together, they had four children, but I could only find the names of two of them, her son, Joe, and her daughter, Terry. Both of them have spoken to the media quite a bit since their mother's death.
And the other two are just like, we don't find them.
Okay. Nope, couldn't do it. Also, there's like, that's all I can find about her early life.
So not much?
No, not really. And like, no one really wants, like, her daughter's like, I don't want to talk about it, basically.
Well, I mean, I don't blame them. I could see both sides.
Oh, for sure.
Of wanting to talk and also being like, fuck off.
But I mean, it didn't happen that long ago. This happened in the 90s, mm-hmm. like the late 90s. So post 9/11. I know. Wait, is that right?
No.
No.
Post 9/11. 2001. The late 90s. Post 9/11.
Fuck. Shit. Okay. Any fucking way. This golden hot tub is sinking.
You know what? I'm trying to patch it up as best as I can over here.
You are a very good friend because I'm so nervous. I'm so sweaty right now. Saying 9/11 happened in the
90s. Take your hoodie off.
No, you're going to see my sweat stains.
Fine, then keep it on.
Okay. Bonnie was always spiritual, but she also loved New Age spirituality, and she dabbled in mediumship and seances.
Slay, Bonnie.
In 1972, at the age of 44, she began working directly with mediums. She began to hold weekly meetings with her medium friends, and they channeled what she believed was a dead monk that she called Brother Francis McDormand.
Hot. That's hot.
That's hot. Sounds so natural when you say it.
I know. I made that up. Thank you.
It's really good. Actually, I made it up earlier, so... Okay. Well, you know.
Rewind the tapes. I don't know.
Don't rewind them too far for the 90s thing. I don't want anyone to hear that. If you know what your 9/11 was, write to us at quiteunusualpod@gmail.com. Let me know.
What do you remember about 9/11? Were you alive?
Shit, where were you during 9/11?
I was in school.
I was at home about to go to school.
I had to be at school early.
Yeah, so. I didn't. I was at home eating like a Pop-Tart in front of the TV. Mom, what's going on this TV? That was me. That's my impression of me. She got really into astrology and the occult, fortune-telling, and tarot. One psychic gave her the description of a man she would soon meet. Ooh. And she began to ask her other psychic and medium friends if they saw the same thing, which feels like leading the witness, but still.
Yeah, I would be like, hey, so do you guys like see anything in my future?
Like a guy? Like a person?
What is it? I don't know. You tell me, man or woman.
You let me know. They all described the same man to her, a mysterious man who was tall with light hair and a fair complexion. One of them said, I'm seeing a bowl of fruit, an orange, possibly. And then she met Marshall Applewhite and was like,
orange and apple.
Apples and oranges. Can't be the same guy. Just kidding. She knew exactly the man that she had been destined to meet was standing in front of her. Marshall Herf Applewhite. I like Herf because it sounds like you just got punched in the stomach and that's like the noise your body
is
gonna say.
That's not
made.
A name, it's a sound that you make with your mouth on accident. Herf.
Wait, do it again.
Herf.
Doesn't it like feel good?
It does. It has to come from the gut though. Everyone just say that right now. I don't care where you are. If you're in the grocery store, even better.
Yeah. If you're just like walking through the grocery store, AirPods
scream
in.
Scream it.
Herf.
It feels really good to let out.
It does. It like comes from the diaphragm, yeah. Like a sharp, like, herf, herf, herf.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So she met the herf. I wish that's what he went by. That'd be way cooler.
Me too.
I would. So she met him, instantly knew that this was the guy she was supposed to meet the whole time. And as I previously said, there's no firm account as to how the two met. Like Bonnie's son, Joe, said possibly in a theater. I've also seen that they met at a hospital. I also saw that Marshall Applewhite was a patient at a psychiatric hospital, and Bonnie Nettles had been a nurse there.
I think that's the one I've heard too.
But I don't know. I couldn't find confirmation of that. The story that Marshall Applewhite tells is that he was visiting a friend at a hospital when Bonnie Lou, who was the nurse on duty at the time, quote, entered the room and our eyes locked in a shared recognition of esoteric secrets. That's really good timing.
Thank you.
And then they just knew that they would be best friends forever.
BFFs. So
that's what he says. But everything that Marshall Applewhite says or has written should be taken with a grain of salt.
Oh, so he's a big liar.
He has been known to exaggerate.
Big fat liar.
Some could say lie.
He's a musical theater major. Of course he's going to exaggerate.
He is simply acting.
It's in his blood.
Life is but a stage.
He is an actor.
He is an actor. And life is but a stage. So, yeah, everything he says is kind of like, is that what happened, Marshall?
Sure, Marshall.
Herf. He was known to exaggerate. Like I said, some people said he was a liar. He liked it when a story was interesting. You know, he liked it when things seemed to happen because of fate, like they were predestined. And yeah, maybe he kind of fudged stories a little bit to make it seem a little bit more fatey. But I don't know. Everyone's truth is different, I guess.
Well, and looking back on it now and reciting his story now, I mean, that's going to make this episode way, way better. So
yeah, so everyone believe what I just said.
Believe Marshall.
Everyone believe Marshall.
Because it's just cooler that way.
Yeah, so don't even question Marshall, okay?
not once. Don't do it.
Ever.
Not a single time.
However, Bonnie's daughter, Terry, did work at the theater where Marshall was currently working, producing children's shows on the weekend and teaching drama classes. So I will say that does seem a little bit fadey to me. Right? Like, I don't know, but like...
like they were going to cross each other's paths sometime.
Right. Like they may have already at some point.
Yeah, like they already did, and then it happened again, and then it was like, wait, I know you.
Wait, are we twin flames? Wait, are we going to go do karate in the garage? Wait, yeah. What's the one non-pornographic magazine that you jack off to?
Good Housekeeping.
It's Good Housekeeping. I should have said it the same. God damn it.
Yeah, you missed that. I just watched that movie.
I just watched a movie 2 days ago. And I fucked it up. However it happened, the two got to talking and they realized that they had a lot in common. The two became very, very close, talking for hours on end about religions, the universe, aliens, their personal spirituality, if they put jam on toast first or butter on toast first, and like they both aligned with that.
That's a big issue.
It's a huge issue. Have you ever met a person that puts jam and then butter?
Insane.
Okay.
Are you crazy?
Okay, right though?
You can't be trusted.
It's like, what? Who raised you?
Literally, were you raised in a barn?
No, because I feel like the farm folk know how to butter toast.
That's true. Were you not raised in a barn?
Are you a city slicker?
Were you raised in a city?
Were you raised in some sort of home and not a barn? Ridiculous. I want to know, to all of our listeners, write to us, quiteunusualpod@gmail.com. Do you fucking do it right or do you do it wrong?
How do you put butter on jam?
What goes first, butter or jam on your toast?
You can't spread butter on top of jam.
That's why you just
can't do it.
That's why it's so fucking insane when people try to do it. It just gets like cold and clumped up.
Yeah.
Like you put the butter on the toast first because it's hot.
It melts into the bread.
And then you put the jam.
It puts the butter on the bread first or it gets the hose again.
Gets the jam again.
The jam hose.
The jam hose. Oh shit, I want a jam hose.
It'd be pretty tight.
Sounds fucking sick, dude. So, where were we? Oh, yeah, they were getting down about how they liked their toast, right? Classic combination.
Right.
Bonnie agreed to do an astrology reading on Marshall, and she told him that they were destined to meet because of a spiritual connection. Marshall is quoted as saying that Bonnie was, quote, to be the sage, and I the speaker.
That's you and me.
That is you and me.
I am the sage, and you are the speaker.
I am the one who speaks. The two were spending so much time together that it ruined Bonnie's relationship with her husband.
That's hilarious.
Her husband filed for divorce and Bonnie left her children with her husband, Joseph. She believed that this was also destined to happen, which I don't want to say she's wrong, but if you allow something to happen and then you say it was destined to happen,
then you're going to probably believe that it was destined to happen.
I mean, there's, yeah, I guess.
I mean, if something happens, one can argue that it was destined to happen because it happened.
If I drink this coffee, Nicole.
You're destined to. I know it. Oh, it's destiny.
That was destined to happen. That was preordained.
It was preordained when you made that coffee this morning.
It was. It absolutely was. I'm sorry I just swallowed on the podcast also.
It's fine. Someone's jerking off to it right now.
Fucking fuck. The same person you're thinking of?
Yeah.
So Bonnie believed that this was, that her and Marshall had a divine assignment to each other and that their job on this planet would be to lead others in their way of spirituality. On New Year's Day, 1973, she officially left her children and her husband to go off with Marshall. Terry, her daughter, who was 20 at the time, did not trust Marshall. And she believed that the two were destined for failure. She believed her mother was prone to delusions of grandeur. Mm-hmm. And I don't disagree with her, honestly.
No, I think, yeah.
She started a fucking cult. Okay.
If anyone is prone to delusions of grandeur, it's a cult leader.
It's Bonnie Lou Nettles.
It is a cult leader.
Yeah, it is. Marshall would later state that he felt that he had known Bonnie for a very long time and that they had known each other in numerous past lives. When she told them that their meeting had been foretold by the aliens that she was in contact with, he just was like, yeah, I believe you. I 100% believe you.
Oh, so she's talking to aliens?
Oh, yeah.
Or is she saying that
she's talking to aliens.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Delusions of grandeur, I mean.
It was then that Heaven's Gate was born. Although the name Heaven's Gate, this I did not know, which I think is very exciting. Mm-hmm. The name Heaven's Gate was only used for the final few years of the group's existence. Hmm. They first chose to call themselves the Human Individual Metamorphosis.
That's too many syllables.
It's so long.
That's like a haiku.
Or HIM for short, which is clever.
Mm.
And they also called themselves Total Overcomers Anonymous.
That's also too many syllables.
Yeah. Or TA. TAU. I don't know. They didn't.
Toa.
It's kind of a fun play on words, though, like anonymous. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's fun.
I think Heaven's Gate just rolls off the tongue better.
It's so good. And their logo is amazing. Like with like, it looks like a key, like the keyhole
the
on
gate.
A door.
Yeah.
It's so good. It's so good. Bonnie Lou Nettles was very smart. She was the power behind the group. She was the idea person. She was very clever. She was very cunning. Marshall Applewhite was the face of the group, the mouthpiece. He was very sweet. And again, just a songbird.
He was also the flair, let's be honest.
I mean, have you seen his shoes?
He was the most fashionable.
He was. He literally was.
I know. You said it.
He's the one that's like, guys, hear me out.
That's one of his identifiers.
Purple and black. And everyone went, whoa.
It's never been done before.
And Bonnie was like, I thought we were going with sage and tan. And everyone's like, Bonnie?
That's a little boring.
Are you fucking kidding? That's going to wash out my face.
Leave the flair to Marshall, Bonnie. Okay. Yeah.
Look, Bonnie, you're so smart and everything, and we love that about you. But have you seen Marshall's outfit today?
Like, go do math, Bonnie.
Like, go do a math. Leave the fashion to the experts.
Leave the fashion to Marshall. Okay.
Thank you. The store Marshall's is actually named after him. Did you know that?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, you did.
He's the owner of it.
He is the owner. His estate now owns it.
That is false information. Please, nobody take that and run with it.
Spreading misinformation.
I heard on the Quite Unusual Podcast.
It is not. It is not owned by him. When Bonnie told Marshall that she had been communicating with aliens, he just absolutely believed her. So he's like, yeah, obviously, I know you're doing it. Like, how could you not be? Look at you.
He's like, what do they say about my shoes, though? Do they like them? Or
are they pro-metallics or are they anti-metallics?
I feel like being from space, they would be pro. But, like, just what are they saying?
Like, is moon dust their glitter? Because I need to know. I want to know that too.
Probably.
Aliens have to be pro-metallics.
I mean, everything in every sci-fi movie ever made tells us that they are.
Unless Marshall was bitchy about it and he was like serving cunt at the moment and he was like, metallics for space.
Yeah, that's never been done before.
Okay. Revolutionary.
Haven't seen that on the space runway.
What's next? Florals for spring? Can you imagine aliens coming and just like leaving because we bully their outfits too much?
Because Marshall Applewhite bullies them.
It's like, you're wearing that. You're wearing that. You come all this way. Hyperspeed.
Moon boots.
Yeah, really?
Moon boots in July.
A little on the nose, don't you think?
Wow.
Yeah. I like to imagine him just being like super fucking bitchy about it.
I hope that he was.
I hope he was too. My Marshall Applewhite was bitchy.
Same.
Yeah. So obviously he believed Bonnie. He's like, well, what were they wearing? And she's like, metallics. And he's like, okay, I believe you.
It's like, duh.
Yeah. So she trusted him with the secrets of the universe. She's like, I know I can trust you because you believed me.
Okay.
So she told him all about the next level. The next
the level. Whole never level.
Level up. Together, they moved into a motel room, one that they would eventually get kicked out of, and Marshall would go to jail because of a lack of payment for.
Oh, I thought you meant like they just threw like a huge rager and then like kicked out. They just stopped paying.
They just never paid.
That's a lot less fun. I'm going to Marshall Applewhite this and say that they got kicked out because they threw huge ragers every single night.
I'd like to believe that also. I don't know if it's true, and I think that we're doing a lot of revisionist history here, but it's for things that don't really matter.
No, this is just like little details about the whole story. There's
We'll get the main points right, but like for now, we're pulling a Marshall Applewhite and we're adding some flair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to.
We got to put fringe on these sleeves, baby.
Always be adding flair.
Yes.
A-B-A-F.
A-B-A-F, bitches. So here the two studied St. Francis of Assisi, who is a Franciscan monk prone to pilgrimages.
Assisi.
Assisi? Is that how you say that?
St. Francis of Assisi, yeah.
How do you know that?
Because I was raised Catholic.
Oh, I forgot.
Me
what did
too.
I say? Ass-assy?
Ass-assy.
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 Oh, look, I see the word ass. I'm going to pronounce it ass. Sorry, I'm not Catholic like you are.
I'm not anymore.
Well, this ass man, St. Francis of the ass.
You just made so many people mad.
I don't care.
Calling St. Francis an ass.
He's an ass man. Look, either you're a tits guy or you're an ass man.
It's in the name.
St. Francis liked an ass. How do you say it?
Assisi.
Assisi. Okay. Okay. So I guess then they were studying St. Francis of Assisi.
Assisi. You're just saying that word any way that you can that isn't right.
No.
Okay.
S-S-I. They also studied Madame Helena Blavatsky, who we all know of occultist fame. R.D. Lang, who's a world-renowned physicist. They were constantly reading his books. They also read from Marshall's personal King James Bible. They highlighted passages from the New Testament, as both did believe in God and Jesus. Marshall dabbled in science fiction with a preference towards aliens and UFOs. Shocker.
Nice.
With all of this information, they wrote a pamphlet describing how Jesus was, are you ready for this? Reincarnated as a Texan.
Yeehaw!
Can we get a yeehaw on the board too?
Fuck yeah.
They were trying to allude that Marshall was the second coming of Christ.
Oh, okay. So that's why it's a Texan.
That's why he's from Texas. Yeah. Although I do really like it when people say that Jesus was an American.
Right.
Like America isn't like less than 300 years old.
Well, my Jesus is a white.
Well, my Jesus wears a tuxedo t-shirt because I like to party and I like my Jesus to party.
I like to picture my Jesus, 6 pounds, 8 ounce baby Jesus.
In his crib. Doesn't even know a word yet. So Marshall Applewhite is the second coming of Christ.
Okay.
They also stated that they were the witnesses that had been described in the book of Revelations. And they began to refer to themselves as the two, or for some flair, the UFO two.
Mm.
I like that.
That's the Marshall Applewhite sound.
It's fly. They traveled to churches to preach their beliefs, claiming that they would be killed one day, just as Jesus was killed on the cross.
Mm.
But they would be also resurrected, not in a cave, but in their next level extraterrestrial bodies aboard a spaceship.
So they would be reincarnated as aliens.
They called this impending event, quote, the demonstration. And honestly, that's where they lost, like, the interest of a lot of religious people. Like, they were kind of hanging on, like, okay, second coming of Christ, we can get into this.
Mm-hmm.
We can, like, you know, whatever, you're probably just making allusions to heaven or whatever. And then they're like, oh, no, you mean like a real spaceship?
You're like actual aliens.
Like real ones? Like the green ones?
Right.
Yeah, and you're telling me that they don't wear metallics?
Mm. Yeah, that's just not believable.
No, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I don't.
Mm. Pastels? No.
Like, no. Come on. In space? No. Against that black background? You don't think that's going to wash out their complexions?
Insane.
It makes no sense. It makes no sense. But some people did stay back and listen to what they had to say. The first of which was Sharon Morgan. In May of 1974, Sharon left her husband and two children to travel with the two, the UFO two, Marshall and Bonbon.
The reincarnation of Jesus and his sidekick, Bonnie.
Yes, the Lone Ranger and Tonto of the religious world. But she chose to go back to her family a month later because that's probably like three's a crowd. You know what I mean? That's weird.
Yeah, she was like kind of like third wheeling pretty hard.
Yeah, like she's like, I could honestly use a break from my children.
That's really what it came down to.
And I'm good now. So I'm going to go back.
She needed a mini like mommy vacation.
Yeah, she's like, we're all living in the same motel room.
Right.
Okay. Okay. And I have to avoid the owner of the motel is what you're saying to me. Because you didn't pay. Okay. All right. Okay. Makes sense. Yeah. I'm going to go home. I'm going to go home now.
She just wasn't a party girl and they were just throwing too many parties.
I have to wash my hair. So actually I'm busy. It was then that Marshall and Bonnie, after Sharon left, got arrested. After Sharon's husband reported Sharon's credit card as stolen.
Oh, shit. So they had her credit card?
Mm-hmm. They were arrested for fraud. They claimed that Sharon told them that they could use it. Which, from what I saw, she did. She said, we'll just put the fucking motel room on my credit card.
Right, but then she came back, and then her husband was probably like, dude, what the fuck?
We're not paying for... Okay, what are they calling themselves? Yeah, no, we're not paying for this.
Doe and T stole your credit card.
And he's buying fringe to put on all of your sleeves.
What is this $300 charge for fringe?
Sharon, you know we can't afford this kind of fringe.
Sharon. Sharon.
Sharon.
Sharon.
Sharon. So the charges were dropped, but they did go to jail. And Marshall he continued to be detained because they did a background check on him. And they were like, you remember when you stole that rental car 6 months ago?
What?
The one that you're still driving?
I don't know what you're talking about, man. I paid for this fair and square. Look at the fringe.
Look at the fringe. Ford Pintos just have fringe?
Look at the fringe detail. Obviously, I've had this car my whole life.
It's pretty obvious. Do you think that they just make these standard with fuzzy seats? No, they don't.
They absolutely do not.
You see this embroidery? Yeah. You think they just come with that? They don't do it. They don't come
with
it.
My initials are embroidered on the seats, okay?
And everyone knows possession is 3/5 of the law. So he had stolen a rental car from St. Louis 6 months earlier. I don't know if he rented it and then just didn't fucking pay for it.
Probably.
Which tracks, because I don't see him hot wiring a car.
No.
No.
That is not, he is a man of many talents, but hot wiring is not one of them.
I would say probably not. Cross stitching, yes. Hot wiring,
yeah, no. Absolutely not.
No, I don't think so. So he was transferred to a jail in Missouri, and then he was released in the spring of 1975, and he immediately found Bonnie and went back on his journey with her. Hmm. The two soldiered on despite their setbacks, And they searched, they kept searching for like-minded followers in search of answers from their extraterrestrial leaders. So Bonnie's just like calling up her ETs every day and being like, guys, what are we doing? What's the vibe?
What's the weather like in space?
Yeah. And they're like, Bonnie, we need you to go fucking find followers. And she's like, oh, right. Sorry. This is a business call.
Oops.
Yeah. So that is where we're going to end this week's episode. That's a little background. Next week, we will start talking about how Heaven's Gate kind of got their official start, like what their official beliefs are, which are they're bonkers bananas and I love them. Mm. And we're just going to see where this wacky adventure eventually leads.
I can't wait. I mean, I know how it ends.
Yeah.
But I don't know too much of the details. And we haven't even gotten into the good shit yet.
No, so not even close. Yeah. There is so much fringe to come. It's going to blow your minds. Tinsel?
Don't even get me started on the sequins.
Okay? It's like, yeah. They didn't call him Marshall Herf, the sequin king, Applewhite, for no reason. There, that's the sound his fringe made when he walked into the room.
Into the room.
Room. He doesn't say diamonds. He says
diamonds.
These are not ordinary rhinestones. These are Marshall Applewhite's diamonds. Beautiful.
All right. Well, we will be back. We're actually, when the next episode airs, we will be back from Waverly Hills. So we'll have some stories.
Yes, we will. Yeah. All right. Well, there it is. Part one of three of Heaven's Gate. So we'll... I always don't know how to end these parts.
These weird. We don't have a listener mail because we're obviously going to do that at the end. Mm-hmm. But if you guys want to follow along with all of the weird shit that we're going to be doing this weekend, follow us on Instagram. We're also on Twitter and Facebook. But maybe we'll go live and do a ghost hunt at Waverly Hills.
That's so good. We can find us at Quite Unusual Pod. Also, we'll be posting some Patreon exclusive content on our Patreon. Mm-hmm. That again is just Quite Unusual Pod. You can find us on patreon.com.
And as always, remember to celebrate the strange.
And keep it unusual.
Bye.
That's hot.